This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hello, all. Welcome to the Almost Famous podcast. Ben, how was your weekend? Tell me the high and the low.
You know what you kind of sound like right now?
What?
You know, I'm going to forget her name, but she does like 30 years of like love advice on radio. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
She's, hey, everybody. Somebody out there
Delilah?
Knows. Yes, Delilah. Hello, everybody. What? Welcome to the Almost Famous podcast. It's very relaxing.
What a compliment. As somebody who loves soft rock and all of her song choices, thank you.
She's fantastic. Anyways, Ashley, before the podcast started, we were talking about our favorite chips, and I would really like to hear from the listeners what their favorite chips are. We're expanding this to chocolate chips even, because Easton, one of our producers, was like, I like chocolate chips. So we're going to expand this to chocolate chips. I was thinking more along the lines of like chips that you put, I guess you put chocolate chips in your mouth too, like barbecue chips, or sour cream and onion. Sydney, one of our new producers, mentioned that she likes the lime flavored, what do you call those, Ashley?
Tostados?
Yeah, like the things you stick on your finger. It makes you look like
Tostitos.
That's it. If we're going that far, I'm going to go even the jalapeno flavored Cheetos. But it's interesting. So listeners, please message us, write us, tell us what you think on Twitter or on Instagram at Almost Famous _ podcast, right?
Mm-hmm. And I said earlier that my favorite chip was Doritos, which, yeah, I love
basic.
Doritos, okay? He
basic.
Said it was basic. And then I started thinking, I guess like I like kettle chips, like Cape Cod chips. Or I just think there's like a brand called Kettle, right? And their jalapeno is so good. But back to my question, Ben.
Oh, sorry.
What did you do this weekend? High and low.
I golfed. I golfed this weekend.
Shocking.
And I shot the worst score I've shot probably in 10 years. Here's a cool part, though, that might be interesting to many people listening. One of my best friends in the world, he was not able to attend my bachelor party because of this. About a year ago, he was diagnosed with Lyme disease.
Yeah.
I might have mentioned it, but he has a PICC line in right now to help him get some medication. He was able to play golf for the first time since he was diagnosed with me this weekend. He was my golfing like buddy. He crushed me, which wasn't fair because I felt bad because he had a PICC line in. I was like, I got to take it easy. And then he just absolutely wiped me up and down the course. But it's interesting as I learn more about Lyme disease, how many people out there suffer with it. So again, listeners, if you're somebody who has Lyme disease, all the info is really welcomed right now because we're trying to learn more about it. But I mean, it's hard. It's tough on him.
Did he get it from a tick or a mosquito? I thought they were only from ticks, but I recently read something about mosquitoes and Lyme disease.
No, he got it from a tick during one of our camping trips. So yeah, it's just interesting. But that was a big weekend for us. And then Saturday night, and I'm going to ask you the same question. Saturday night, Jessica and I had a date night, something that we are making a priority in our relationship for the rest of our relationship. And we went to a restaurant here in Denver called Barolo Grill. It was fantastic. But before we went to the restaurant, she helped me pick out a new pair of basketball shoes because I'm going to try to get back into it again and not tear my Achilles. And then we went and hung up shelves at her brand new skin studio in Denver that opened this weekend. She is now seeing clients. You can go to Jess Skin. Jess, if you live in Denver, you're coming through to see her. So I hung some shelves up so she could put some product on the walls.
That sounds exactly like our weekends.
What was
this weekend? Very similar. Before we went to dinner, we went to a really nice place in Bristol, Rhode Island, called the Beach House, I think. And it was so cute, right there on the water. And then before that, we went to Lowe's, where I put together my first ever flower boxes, which made me feel like that was the adult moment. If I've ever realized that I am an adult, it was when I went to Lowe's. On my own, well, not on my own, but with Jared, because I wanted to go and make flower boxes. And then he got equipment parts to help enforce one of the shelves in my closet. So can you believe the parallels?
It's exciting. I'll tell you what. I mean, if anybody out there is going, hey, my life is boring, I'll tell you the things that bring me the most joy. I planted my garden this weekend, actually. So planting flowers, planting a garden. I hung a birdhouse this weekend, hoping I get a nice little robin. We got a hummingbird feeder now sitting outside that I stuck up for Jessica, seeing some hummingbirds flying around color. I mean, you know what? It's life that's exciting and fun, and finding contentment in the things that maybe you didn't expect before. But hey, if you're listening, we still find it exciting, don't we, Ashley?
Yes. It's very nice and comforting. I like my early 30s life.
Oh, it's so good. Hey, Ashley, on to the podcast. Today's a big day for us because we actually get to talk to one of Bachelor Nation's most recently engaged humans. This is one of our favorite people, a breath of fresh air in the Bachelor franchise, somebody that is a fan favorite for sure. Sarah Herron is going to be on the podcast today.
Woohoo! Yeah, she's going to tell us exactly how her boyfriend Dylan proposed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also, of course, have some hot topics, and so many of you have entered our sweepstakes, our four-year anniversary sweepstakes, that we have the designer of the rings that we're giving away, Jessica Saks Davimos, coming on the podcast to talk about her jewelry line.
But Ashley, before we get started with all of that, we want to remind people that for our four-year anniversary, we also have apparel for sale, right? And so if you're looking to buy some apparel, you go to myfanthreads.com slash almost famous and go check out some of our apparel. If you're a listener, we would love for you to grab some of that. It's special to us, designed by the team. So apparel, and then we're also doing a huge giveaway. Like we said, we'll tell you all the information on that at the very end of the podcast. Before we get started, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to break down a lot bit more detail without knowing anything about these guys, Katie's men. Hey, we'll be back with the Almost Famous podcast.
All right, guys. So the photos for Katie's men have been released. If you guys remember a few weeks ago, Ben and I did our first impressions of the guys as we usually do. But a lot of those photos, they're just like real life photos, right? A lot of them were in landscapes and their hometowns and all this. The official photos came out last week, and a lot of the guys that we've already talked about are there in the official list. So there's 29 guys plus the box. Now, the box is not a surprise to me. It's what's his name from
it's got to be Blake.
Cretaceous season. Yeah, Blake. So, you know, they're not releasing Blake as one of the cast members, but there is a little present, it looks like, with a whole bunch of question marks underneath it. And that'll be our surprise guest. And it's got to be Blake. And honestly, I think Blake is going to get really far. If you guys are completely forgetting about the report that we had a couple of weeks ago, Blake was spotted on set early on during the recording of Katie's season. And it looks like, I think he was with Katie in some of the pictures. It looks like he's going to be a cast member. And I think he's going to get far. Do you guys remember how, like, he was supposedly, like, really sexual? And then we know that Katie is pretty open about her sexuality. I just think they're kind of going to jive immediately. And, yeah, I'm predicting that Blake gets top four. Some other fun little tidbits I got from these guys, because their bios came out, I took some notes about the ones that stood out the most to me, because we give occupation now and hobbies and all that. There's a skin salesman. I think this is Jeff. How do you feel about that? Do you know at all what that means, Ben?
I'm imagining it's like skin grafts. So, like, he probably, like, works for a hospital and sells skin grafts?
Yep, that is what he is. But I like the way The Bachelor calls him a skin salesman.
Yeah, it could be a little better. Like, I'm sure that's like a little bit of a diss on him. He's like, no, I'm like actually like somebody that matters and like helps people.
Right? Yeah. He's like, I help burn victims, but sure, call me a skin salesman. Then there's a zipper salesman. What?
A
zipper on your jeans.
What happened to the days that we actually could find out what these people did for a living?
I know.
Like, is there really somebody that brokers zippers for jeans?
I guess.
Like, I'm sure most of these jean companies just go through, like, the manufacturer. So what does he do? Call up, you know, like Sevens and goes, hey, I've got a brand new zipper that you're going to, by the way, zippers and I don't get along very often. But so like when I hear this, it's just not like zippers on pants. I'm more of a button guy. It's safer, for many reasons, but does he just call up Sevens and like, hey, I got a good zipper for you this year?
Could be. We got a little tidbit from our producer Riley saying that there are 4.5 billion zippers of all kinds that are consumed amongst the American population, the U.S. population, per year. So zippers are apparently more important than we think, and we use them as they're part of our daily lives more than we think of. Look, I got a zipper right here on my shirt, and I bet you have a zipper on right now as we speak.
No, I'm wearing a t-shirt and basketball shorts. Ashley, thanks for calling me out. I haven't changed since I worked out this morning.
Oh, that's okay. You know that's like me every week we're on here. Okay, so then we have a guy who starts celebrating Christmas in October every year.
That's Jessica. Kind of that's my fiance.
It's kind of endearing. I believe, don't quote me on this, that is Josh who does this. Jared also would love to start celebrating in October, probably like November 1st, if we're going to be technical, because Jared does like to soak up his 31 days of Halloween.
Yeah, you know what? Thanksgiving's one of my favorite holidays. I have a problem with this because last year, Jessica really wanted to start celebrating in October. And I said, no, we got to wait till at least after Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is a time for my family and her family to all get together. We can't just skip over it. This isn't, you know, this is a memorable moment. But I get it. I'm learning that people would love to start celebrating as soon as they feel appropriate. And I feel like for Jessica, it's like an all year thing. In fact, this 2 weeks ago, we went for dinner and they had snowmen painted on the windows. And she looks at me, she goes, Christmas. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
We're married to the same person then, because that October through Christmas era, Jared is just super excited. It's his favorite time of year. He loves the holidays and everything that it means. But I like to milk each one and I want to push one forward. If that makes sense. Okay. So then last note of mine that really stood out was there's one guy who says he's good in bed.
Yeah, that guy, you know what? I've never hung out with any guy friend and been like, I like you, if that's how
they describe themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it just feels like, you know, your actions speak louder than words.
Producers, I hear that you guys are obsessed with the weird facts. Easton, do you have any that I didn't mention?
Possibly. Let me pull up one of my favorites really quick.
I love having Easton on the pod.
You know, it's a rare treat, and I appreciate you giving me this moment. Brandon loves to attend the occasional rave. Brendan really does not like vegetables. Wow. Okay. What a wacky fact. But there's one guy who really likes parades. Oh, here he is, Christian.
Mm-hmm. Heard about that.
Loves parades, dreams of driving the Batmobile, and rocked a faux hawk in his younger days.
Oh God, that is Jared's best friend. That might be Jared's new best friend. He loves parades. He like loves the pride that comes along with them. And he also, of course, wants to drive the Batmobile. And I think, where is he from? Do we know this?
He's from Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh my God, it really is Jared's future best friend.
Are raves still a thing? Because when I was growing up, going to a rave was like, we always talked about in high school, you know, you kind of whisper like, oh, you going to the rave this weekend? And then you'd show up to this rave and everybody'd like paint like highlighter on each other and music would blast.
In high school?
Yeah, it was like underground raves. Is that still a thing?
That sounds very illegal for children.
Ashley, I mean, if I'm sure there's a lot of things I did in high school that were illegal. But yes, I think raves were a thing. I think I wonder if they still are. And if not, maybe we could bring them back. I feel like they kind of came back in, you know, the early 2000s to mid 2000s. It came back from the 80s. So, I mean, super interesting group of guys. You know, my unique standout, Courtney. because he spells his name Q-U-A-R-T-N-E-Y. I've never seen that spelling for Courtney. Maybe it is common. I just am, you know, kind of hide under a rock sometimes.
It's certainly not common. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It kind of makes me want to Courtney, like, you know, like a little, really makes things special. Ashley, if I was to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
That we do every year. It's a big question for us.
Oh, I was going to change this question. The top three?
Yeah.
I always feel like I'm like struggling for that three. So can I give two? Because I feel really strongly about two.
Ashley, you're the boss. You can give two. Who are your two standouts without watching an episode, knowing anything about them, just seeing their pictures and some interesting facts?
Aaron and Marcus. But like, I hope that's just not because like I enjoy their vibes. I might be picking them for my own companionship and less of Katie's, because like Katie has a whole different personality than me. Not that I know Aaron and Marcus's personalities either, but it's just
they stand
vibe.
Out.
Yeah. So, what about you?
If I'm looking at these guys and if I glance over them, there's two that stand out to me. Carl is very confident. You can see it in his eyes and in the way he's holding himself.
Carl, why am I not seeing him? Oh, there he is. Carl with a K. That's why.
Yeah, Carl with a K. And I'm also kind of like vibing Austin. Austin goes with the old school burgundy golf shirt for his picture. It means he has some fashion sense. He's facing the camera directly, like he knows that he's entering into this thing in confidence. So Austin and Carl are standing out to me. If I'm only going to give two, if I were to choose a third, which I think I still can do that.
Fine. Can I give you my third next week?
Yeah, you can give me your third next week. I would say Marcus. I think Marcus looks like a kind man with a gentle smile. I expect big things from Marcus. I will be really disappointed if he doesn't stand out. I mean, this group of guys, and be it, it might be the change of background now for the pictures that they're doing. It's a good looking group of guys who, you know, sometimes we look at this and we're like, what in the world? Where did they find these dudes? We look at this group and we're like, these guys, you know what? They got something. Like, this could be a good group of men.
They're fine, but they're not as exciting to look at on these backgrounds as they were in that preview. Because remember when I saw the preview, I was like, oh, they're cute. And now I'm looking at these pictures and I'm like, yeah, they're fine. I mean, if I'm just to be vain. And we all know that nobody looks their best. Everybody looks their worst, actually, in these photos.
Oh, I mean, they always do. It's sometimes like you watch these and you see them on TV. It's a completely different person. Well, Ashley, I'm excited for this season. And to close out this little segment, remind me when Katie's season is actually going to start, because I feel like, you know, it's already been filmed. It's going to be a bit still, but when does it start?
Monday, June 7th.
Wow.
All right, guys, Bachelorette back on Mondays, June 7th. It's just a 2-hour premiere. And then we'll know all these men a little bit more.
With mentors, Caitlin Bristow and Tayshia Adams, they're calling them mentors now, not like coaches, not friends. They've kind of changed the verbiage up a little bit, but mentors is what we're calling Caitlin and Tayshia. They're around for the whole season. It's going to be an interesting season. A lot of changes. It's probably going to feel very different, which will make a really fun season for us to talk about. And we will be talking about it right here on the Almost Famous podcast. Well, Ashley, let's take a break. Get a drink of water. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the recently engaged Sarah Herron about everything cool going on in her life.
All right, guys, Sarah Herron is here on the phone with us. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are so good. We are so happy for you. You have so much going on. You just got engaged last week. You guys building a house and you're starting IVF.
Yeah, there's so much on my plate right now. I think my parents are freaking out for me. But yes, I just got engaged last week. We did buy a piece of property, but we're like pushing pause on building for a while just because cost of building is so high and I mean all the things. And then yeah,
girl,
we're
beginning. We get it.
Yeah. Yeah, you get it.
We're similar boats there. Yeah.
Crazy. And then I'm starting IVF this week, actually.
Where to begin? All right. Let's start with the engagement.
Okay.
You told me last week via text that you actually were in the midst of designing. You're like picking out your own ring, and that was months ago. So start at the very beginning when you guys had the conversation of, all right, let's find a ring.
I know. Okay. So we've been talking about getting engaged and getting married for a while because we started trying to have kids last summer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the order, the sequence of the events didn't really matter to us. We just, because we know we want to spend our life together, we want to have kids. And so we started trying to have kids first, which was a little out of order, but we knew we wanted to get engaged and get married eventually. So Dylan knows nothing about diamonds or jewelry. And so he originally said, can you make like a Pinterest board for me to have in my back pocket someday? Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that and I pretty much landed on this design that I wanted. And I showed it to him and I was like, I want something like this. And I think you're going to have it custom made. And so, you know, I definitely had a hand in the process and I helped him, but then I just didn't know when or how it would happen, but I'm very type A. So I wanted to design it.
So what was important to you? Can you walk us through the details of this ring?
So I just wanted something very unique and original to me. My background is in design. So I like having almost like my stamp of originality on something, and it's very classic. It's Art Deco inspired, and it's not a ring you see on most people. So I just wanted to be a little different. I wanted to have it feel like it was truly mine. And I don't wear a lot of jewelry very often. I'm always like outside doing things. So when I do wear it, I wanted it to feel not like it didn't belong on me. You know, I didn't want it to feel out of character.
So did you see it before he popped the question?
No. We had a family friend who owns a jewelry store in St. Louis. It's called Genovese Jewelers. And Nicole, the owner of the jewelry company, was designing it with Dylan. So I didn't know that the ring was there until they finished it. So they were doing all the design and the production behind scenes without me.
Now, leading up then to the moment that he asked you to marry him, can you walk us through that day? If you expected it, kind of where did he do it? How did it happen?
Well, he was about to leave for a week long trip. And so I think he was just like, I just got to like pull the Band-Aid off, just do it. Because he told me afterward, like he had been trying to come up with all these plans. Like, should we do it while we're in California? Should he, you know, trying to basically come up with the most dreamy scenario. And then he was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it where we spend our time, where I know Sarah loves. So we did it at home in Carbondale. It was a typical Saturday. We went out for a float on the river. We have a raft and he knows it's my favorite river. My best friend from home was there. And I think it was just like, okay, this is as perfect as it's going to be for us because this is what we love doing. And so he had kind of tricked me into thinking we were going out to shoot photos for a brand. And so he was like, be sure to put on some makeup and like wear the clothes for Eddie Bauer. And so I was a little like, you don't usually tell me to put makeup on. So I was a little tipped off, but I was still pretty surprised.
That's awesome. So we hate to put this pressure on because I know this is the question that everybody asks when somebody gets engaged and it's like, wow, it's been a week. Can we just enjoy engagement? But what kind of wedding are you picturing and when? I know on your Instagram this week, you said that you wanted a long engagement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to be engaged for at least a year. Dylan, he's like, I defer to you. If you want to run off and elope tomorrow, I'll do that. Or if you want to draw it out and have, you know, something more special later on, we can do that. So I'm more comfortable with a longer engagement. And that's just because, like we said, we have so much on our plates right now that I really just want to give each experience we're going through enough time to like enjoy it. There's no rush. You know, I want to enjoy a long engagement. I want to be present through my IVF experience. I don't want to feel like I'm trying to get everything done by a certain timeline.
Do you mind sharing kind of then how, I mean, you said that you kind of had talked with Dylan and you started trying to have kids a year ago. How were the conversations leading up to choosing to have IVF, and how has that process been for you?
Yeah. It's been pretty like rocky. It's pretty emotional. We decided last summer, like just something went off in me, a light switch went off. I decided, you know what, I really do want to be a mom. I want to have kids with Dylan. I think it just like clicked for me. I was like, I want to see him, you know, taking his little kids hiking and just fantasizing about it. So we decided to start trying. And after about 7 months of no luck, my gynecologist told me to come in and get tested simply because I'm 34. And if you're over 34 and it takes a while, they want to check on your hormone levels. So we found out I had diminished ovarian reserve and that it was probably going to be really difficult for me to get pregnant naturally. So I had two options, and one option was to pursue hormone, just strictly like getting on hormones and still trying naturally through intercourse. And then the second option was to pursue IVF. And I had heard from many, many women that like, just go straight to IVF. Hormones can really like kind of mess with you emotionally. And I didn't really want to do that forever, especially if time is of the essence. So we decided to jump right in.
And you're starting that process. You're going to California next week to get the eggs retrieved.
Yeah.
So you've been on a lot of hormones, I'm assuming the past two or so weeks. How are you feeling?
I actually start on Wednesday. So I'm out here prematurely, essentially, because I want to be here for the whole process. So I'll be here for 3 weeks. And I'll be visiting with my fertility specialist every other day. So since we are not in the same location, I decided it would be best if Dylan and I were here so that we could be with her in person rather than like, you know, trying to do all this remotely and then flying in right before the procedure. I just wanted to be here for all of it. So I'll be all hormonal in an Airbnb somewhere for 2 weeks.
Well, thank you for sharing all this. It's very personal, but I do think it helps a lot of women out there when they hear this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's such an uncharted territory when you come into it for the first time. And so when I found out, I just wanted to absorb everything. I still do. I read, I kind of stopped reading all the blogs and the threads because you could just go down rabbit holes forever. But, you know, infertility was so new to me. I didn't understand anything about it. So I'm happy to share my experience because I know women have a lot of questions, as do I.
You know, is it an exciting time? Like, I mean, what are your emotions right now? I mean, you just got engaged. You know, you are going to have a longer engagement. This is happening in 3 weeks. Like, how are you doing personally?
Every day is a little different. Right now I'm really optimistic. Right now I'm really excited. I almost feel like it's a high because you're like, okay, this is a really proactive step that has great results. So for the first time, I feel like, oh my gosh, this could actually be it. But I'm also trying to stay level-headed because it is a journey and, you know, not everything always works on the first try. And it does seem like in, you know, getting up until this point, it's been a roller coaster. Like as soon as something feels really good, something kind of inevitably punches you in the face. And so I've just kind of like learned to roll with those punches. But right now in this moment, I feel really excited and I'm just trying to like cling on to that optimism.
Well, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we are happy for you. We're excited for you and sending you all the positive love and vibes. All the baby dust, as people keep saying to me.
Thank you. I know.
Let's go through some fun questions before we let you go. I think I know the answer to this one. Big or small wedding?
What do you think?
Small. I think you're going to have like a little thing in the woods with like 30 to 50 people.
Probably. I mean, yeah, less than 100, I think, but definitely like smaller is my MO. Both of
last week we had Desiree Hartstock on, and she was picking out wedding dresses for so many people that got engaged in the last few weeks. And she talked about yours, and she said, if I remember right, something, athletic and like that you could like get into the woods with, and like
strapless.
That's beautiful, strapless, and like, yeah, just like something
that's so funny.
You should go back and listen, because she kind of
I will, like,
without having any knowledge of what you want, we kind of picked your wedding dress for you.
She said it would be a form-fitting strapless bodice, but then more flowy, like something that flows in the wind with the bottom half. What have you always imagined?
I don't think I'll do something like poofy.
We didn't think it was going to be poofy.
Okay. I think, but definitely more on the classic side. I'm very, just like timeless. So probably form fitting. I don't know. I could see like just classic. I don't know. I need to like start studying. I guess that'll be my next Pinterest board.
Great.
But it's funny that Desiree is like attuned to that, because we were on the show together. And so she probably remembers like a lot of the dresses that I wore.
Smart.
Yeah.
I guess our last question is, do you foresee anyone from Bachelor Nation being in your bridal party or a prominent member of your wedding?
Not in my bridal party, because we don't think we're really going to have, what's the groom's called? Like groomsmen?
Yeah.
See how much I know? No, I'll probably have my sister be my maid of honor, and Dylan will have a best man, and then that's it. But I would definitely love kind of like you, Ashley, like I would love to have Ilan involved in some way. Like he just means so much to me. I don't know about officiating, but he'll definitely be invited.
Hey, he's licensed and he is spectacular when he does it, as he is with pretty much everything.
Yeah, I know. He would be great. So yeah, I envision him being there in some capacity, but we'll have a small wedding party.
All right, Sarah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We love having you on, especially when you have these amazing updates.
Thank you. You guys always make me feel so special and celebrated, and I appreciate having me on and reaching out was so nice. So thank you.
Well, the truth is you are special and you are celebrated, and from everybody here, we wish you the best. This is going to be awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. I'll keep you posted on wedding. Yeah.
Please do.
Cool. Bye.
Always great having Sarah Heron on the podcast. Somebody that we celebrate, a fan favorite. It's always great for her to give up some of her time, especially, geez, she has a lot going on in this season of life to talk to us. But now, as we mentioned last week on the headlines about all the people getting engaged, it's time for Bachelor headlines here. Ashley is our resident expert. Let's start here. JoJo Fletcher reveals Tayshia Adams texted her for bachelorette hosting tips ahead of Katie season. This is according to us.
So there's actually two headlines in here. First, JoJo reveals that she was not offered the gig of being one of the hosts this year. She said that she was deep into filming her new show, The Big D, in Costa Rica. So the timing probably wouldn't have panned out anyway. But Tayshia reached out to JoJo, who, if you guys remember, did some hosting when Chris Harrison brought his son to college during her season. So she said, hey, can I pick your brain? She said, it's weird taking over the host role on a show like that. She said, Chris Harrison is amazing at his job, so it's a lot of pressure, and I'm excited for them, as in Tayshia and Caitlin. She said that she's never spoken to Katie before, and she said she's sad about that. She says, as newcomers come into the franchise, she keeps feeling further and further behind and not being able to connect with them as easy. But she said that she's excited for her season because although she didn't really watch Matt's season dedicatedly, well, I don't know if that was a word, dedicatedly. she said that she did see the episode where Katie really stood out and she thinks she's going to be a really good bachelorette.
Yeah, it's... And if I remember right, I mean, JoJo was on Matt's season, but it was never shown, right?
That's right, because Tayshia and JoJo both did a date, and it was cut, which was crazy.
So wild. Next headline is this is a big one for the Bachelor franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of changes going on in the whole Bachelor world. And, you know, if you don't know this, the Bachelor is global, so a lot of different countries do have their own specific show. Well, the Bachelorette Australia cast first openly bisexual lead to meet male and female suitors. This according to E.
Mm-hmm. Her name is Brooke Blurton, and she was on Nick Cummins' season of The Bachelor in 2018 in the Australia version. And then she was on their version of Bachelor in Paradise. I wonder, is that the same? It says the following year. I don't think that was the year that Jared was on Bachelor in Paradise Australia. It may have been the year afterward, but I'm gonna have to ask if he knows who Brooke is. So they are going to be casting girls and guys for her season, which of course brings up a whole bunch of questions, like will girls and guys get together behind the scenes, or like actually maybe it's not so much behind the scenes as it is part of the show. Will girls be getting with girls? Will guys be getting with guys? Will everybody there be bisexual? Will certain people be straight? It could be like a whole other spinoff about what's going on inside the house. If you've, you know, what do you think? Don't you think that it's going to create a lot more? I mean, I think it's great, but I also think it's going to create so much drama. They're going to need multiple episodes a week to keep up.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting how they navigate it. It's going to, you know, there's definitely going to be storylines in the house. Like, I think that's just obvious. Like, even if everybody goes in saying, hey, you know, we're here today, Brooke.
Yeah.
Then, you know, over time, like, connections will be made. You're spending all the time together. So, you know, the question then is, like, how are they housing people, all that we don't know. But it's definitely going to be intriguing to watch because it's something that we've never seen this format, talking The Bachelor and Bachelorette. We've never seen this format try this, or we've never seen this happening. You know, it'll be really interesting to me, Ashley.
What?
Is obviously this is happening in Australia first. And the US is still the main franchise. It's the most watched. There's the most money going into it. It's where it started. Will the US follow at some point the lead of Australia? And then, how does that work?
My thought is yes. I know that ABC and Hulu are kind of merging, like joining forces together, and I think they're, you know what, we've had that hot topic about Rob Mills, and we have the spinoff with the older people being on The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and if they do expand the franchise onto Hulu, I think this would be one of the first ones there. And let's just shout out our friend Lance Bass as the perfect host for a show like that.
He's great. It's going to be interesting. So tune in. I don't know if you can. I'm sure like on Hulu or something, you could tune into the Australian Bachelor.
I think you can watch it on Hulu. They might be like quite delayed. I don't know if you can watch it in live time, like, you know, week to week, but they definitely upload the whole season up there because you can watch Bachelor in Paradise Australia on Hulu, I believe.
Okay. Well, next headline is The Bachelor Sean Lowe says there were growing pains early in his marriage with Catherine Lowe. This according to People.
Yeah, I don't think that this is like the first time they've said anything like this, but he said in the beginning of our marriage, we had a lot of growing pains, which for those newlyweds out there who are listening and maybe it's a little rocky for you, that's normal. That's what we've come to find out. There was a bit of pressure because we did a lot of public appearances and they did the show, you know, Marriage Bootcamp. And he said, with things like that, you know, you have to put on a brave face, even though maybe 30 minutes prior you got into an ugly spat at home. We've grown and Catherine has tried so hard to be the best wife possible. She's an incredible mother and hopefully I've grown up a little bit too. That has helped us improve the marriage over time. And also what was helpful for them was learning each other's love languages. Sean also said that the key to forging a successful marriage is being with somebody who is your best friend.
You know, they have been open about it, right? I mean, yeah. the marriage boot camp stuff was really hard on them. Obviously, mm-hmm. his time on Dancing with Stars, like you said, I mean, they've been very open about their struggles and their relationship. And it's helpful, I think, for many. It's probably why so many people still gravitate towards them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know Catherine Lowe is temporarily, at least, filling in an interim role for Rachel Lindsay on the Bachelor podcast. So, like, you know, the Lows are still very much a part of the franchise, and a lot of people lean on them for advice. Well, this week I did see this person commented on Sean Lowe's photo. Sean Lowe was preaching at a church this Sunday, and Matt James commented on it. Well, we have some headlines for Matt James.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of followed this story every week, and we're getting more and more information as the weeks go on. But Bachelor's Matt James and Rachel cuddle up during trip to Miami.
You guys, they're going strong. They had a PDA packed weekend together, spotted last Monday, May 17th. His arm was around Rachel as they strolled on the beach, and they were also spotted hugging, you know, on the beach. And an eyewitness said that they were on a cozy date together at David Grutman's Komodo restaurant in Miami. They said that they both sat on the same side of the booth and they were very close to each other. Their affection was on display. They weren't hiding it. So it seems like they have hung out multiple times since, well, I mean, that New York trip, which apparently they split up again, but then they rekindled in LA. It seems like every week there's a new Rachel and Matt sighting, but I mean, I for one am really happy to see it.
Yeah, it seems like they're making it work, or at least trying to, which is exciting for, you know, for a lot of Bachelor Nation, but it also is a little bit frustrating for me. You know why?
I get it. I mean, I don't know if we have the same reasoning, but go ahead.
Well, it's just like, you know, Matt got so much criticism for how the season ended. Mm-hmm. And it felt like then there was so much left unsaid, right? I mean, the After the Final Rose was an important episode. And we all kind of left going, what in the, like, there's so much that's still confusing. Like, what happened? What really went wrong? Like, is do they dislike each other, like, fully? Or they still have feelings for each other? And then it just kind of ended. And it felt like now we're seeing that, yes, there was still feelings for each other. Like, they did want to make it work.
Yeah.
Matt was interested in finding a partner, which he got criticized for not wanting to find a partner, but uh-huh. it just wasn't good timing then, and there was so much happening then. It's like, well, you know, it's not none of our business, right? But it's like, man, I kind of want to know what's going on. Like, this, let's celebrate them a bit, and I hope they feel celebrated for at least, you know, trying.
Ben, I get it. I mean, to me, thinking back on After the Final Rose, which is still so recent, you know,
yeah.
two months and some weeks, it feels like he threw her under the bus a little bit to me, because it was just seemed like the way he behaved toward her was that he was so disinterested in spending any more time with her. And then fast forward 4 weeks and all of a sudden he wants to get back with her. It just seems like he was hiding some feelings there and he was doing something for the cameras that he wasn't really feeling it, inside.
Maybe he just needed some time away too, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes the camera is like, it's like a vacuum and it's so much stuff spinning around that you're like, okay, let's take a break. Let's take a step away from the cameras. Let's think through this. Let's maybe talk without cameras in our face and, you know, just chat about what's going on. But I mean, yeah. I mean, he got so much criticism for not wanting to find a partner. And then we're like, well, wait, no, he kind of did from the show. We just mm-hmm. didn't get to see it. Well, mm-hmm. speaking of partners from the show, this is a story I'm very interested in because these two people are close friends of mine. And I've already mentioned on this podcast that I think it would be the best scenario for Paradise if these two people showed up, were there for like an episode and left together. Because I just get the sense that something is happening and I don't know what. But Bachelorette alum Becca Kufrin and Blake Hortzman's flirty friendship. I know it's going to say that they're just friends, but I feel like that can't be possible. They liked each other too much to just now be friends.
Ben, you might be able to give more insight than this source does. Because this source is just saying that they're both single, they aren't dating one another, they just like flirting with each other, and it doesn't mean they're dating. They said they run
what
in
does that
similar
mean?
They run in similar crowds.
No, they
and they
don't.
Run into each other from time or two, every time or two. They were even spotted on Kendall Long's Instagram last month. And Becca was jokingly giving Blake a rose. Come on, you know more. You even had Blake at the bachelor party. I know that they're no way exclusive or date. I get that. They're not exclusive.
They're not.
But, like, have they kissed? That's my question. Have they kissed
I have no
since
clue.
The show? Oh, you got to ask.
I will ask.
Guys don't ask their guy friends stuff like this. And
no.
You know if we had Blake on, which we did very recently, I would straight up ask him this and make everybody uncomfortable, and he'd probably say no, but then I'd overanalyze his facial expression, or he'd laugh and we'd know the truth was yes.
Well, here's what I do know, and keeping, you know, the respect of the friendships. I don't know if they've kissed. I see Blake and like talk to Becca and they'll be like, oh yeah, I hung out with Blake. I don't want to dig because I do want to, they're friends of mine. All I know is this, that I don't know this, I guess. What I'm assuming is given the right circumstance, knowing how much Blake liked Becca on that season, like I literally was like, this could be my wife. And knowing how Becca felt about Blake and the interest there and the things left unsaid and undone, given the right circumstance, I believe they would at least give it a shot. And I think like dating again, I think there's just like there's tension there. There's just no way they can just go back to being friendly.
I know.
They're both single. This source says they run in the same circles. Well, they're both on the franchise. And there's a lot of people from the franchise that live in Denver that I never see. Like, you have to make an effort to see them. And so, I don't know. I mean, I feel like paradise is the spot. And I feel like even if they're trying to fight it personally, if they're like, hey, this is too much, we can't do this, whatever, I believe that the show worked so hard to get them on Paradise. They walk to the beach, both single. You tell me there's not a spark and they don't go, let's give it a shot. I'm calling it right now. I think it happens. I think it's beautiful. I think it changes their worlds. I think they at least can date after that. I don't know.
Ben, I have more to say.
Okay.
You keep bringing up Paradise, and I really have a hard time believing that Becca would do Paradise after becoming a lead. We saw that once. Who
Why
was
not?
That? Who did that?
I don't think anybody's ever been the lead, then gone
on
Paradise.
Oh, you were the lead, and you went on
Winter
Games. Bachelorette
epic,
Games.
Epic emotional failure.
And then Blake has such an issue with like the way Paradise last time went down for him that I don't think he'd ever be willing to go back again. So how do you see this happening in Paradise? And do you think that Blake actually would? Because you know him pretty well, and I know you must have talked to him about this.
Oh, I think they would. I don't think they want to. I don't think it would be something that they like desire to do. But I think.
Well, then what do you mean? How
well,
did they
because
end up there?
Here's how it plays out. I think I would tell anybody like, yes, I went on Winter Games, and yes, it was really hard for me. I can't say it was a wrong decision. I think there were so many things about it that I enjoyed, you know, getting to spend that much time with you, getting to hang out with Dean the whole time, getting to meet Yuki. Like, those things are memories that I'll take forever. And it helped me get through a lot and confront a lot. And so I think Becca should, I mean, if she wants to do it, I don't think there's any problem with a league going back on a show like Paradise, especially when they're single. And you know, they're trying to meet somebody. For Blake, I mean, quite frankly, he was a friend of mine. It can't get any worse. Like,
right?
And he survived it. Like, you know, he's doing his DJ thing now.
Yeah.
Like, even as for as much hate as he received and for as much hate as he felt, he's doing fine. Like, he's right back in the world. So it's like, what? I'm going to go back on this thing and they're going to hate on me more? No, I know how this plays out. Give it some time. People, you know, forgive and forget, or they just say, hey, it was, you know, whatever, and they move on. It just might be, and this is what I'll say as a friend, it just might be the push they need to like try this thing, because I think they would both be hesitant without having that intentional environment to enter into anything. And so mm-hmm. it just might be the push in the environment they need to say, can we just try this? Like, where are we at? Are we actually interested in each other, or are we really just friends? Which I just can't believe. I don't believe it. Well,
would live for it to watch it on TV. And just to go off of what you're saying about like just friends, how do you even do that? How do you get that close to engagement, end up going with somebody else, having not fully explored what could have been with this other person, then you just decide not to do it once you're broken up with the other guy?
Mm-hmm. Ashley, you're on the same page, and I think fans are also. Well, big headline this week, all over the place. Chicks in the Office had an incredible podcast that they pulled a lot out of Kelly Flanagan, which I'm starting to feel like she's a great interview because I don't think she holds back. We should probably get her on this podcast.
I know.
She's never really held back, even with us. But she let it all out there during Chicks in the Office. She shared away. Kelly Flanagan told Bachelor Peter Weber to get the hell out of my life after breakup. And there's a lot to that statement. Ashley, what is going on?
Juicy, juicy. I was actually listening to this podcast before we started recording our podcast. I didn't get to the get the hell out of my life or lose my number part, but she does confirm that they broke up in December 2020 when they announced it, like on the 31st of the month. And then they reunited briefly once they reconnected at the Super Bowl, and because they were on fine terms, even though she said she was really annoyed at the fact that he announced on New Year's Eve that they broke up, even though she wanted to wait a couple days and kind of like tell family and friends. And even the Bachelor producers told them to wait a couple days, but he went ahead and did it. So that was annoying to her. But then when they saw each other at the Super Bowl, they reunited in February, only for it to last like another month or two for it to end really badly this time. So,
and when you say really badly, clarify, because she does talk about this.
She does and she doesn't. It's like kind of implied that she found out that there were other girls that he was talking to. They even had each other still on Find My Friends. I don't know if you guys are all familiar with it, but it's the app on the iPhone where you can track your people. I track Jared. He tracks me, but more like for safety reasons. Like, I like to know when he like gets somewhere after he's driven for a long time, or like, is he at the, he's not answering his phone. Like, where is it? You know, all that.
I can't do that.
You don't do that?
No, Jessica would always see me at the golf course and I'd be like, ashamed. No, I can't do that.
Ben, this happens on a regular basis in our family as well. I'll wake up at 9 and I'll be like, where is he by now? Like, what? Where is he? And then I always look at my friends and he's on the golf course. Okay, so she doesn't really say anything about like there specifically being one girl, but or a girl or like any sort of cheating situation. But she heard that like he's been hooking up a lot lately. Like, she said that she'll go to her friends in Nashville and then they'll be like, oh yeah, my friend hooked up with Peter last week. And then she said that sometimes Peter will check in on her, but like her mentality is just don't respond. Like, she just hasn't responded, hasn't talked to him since they ended badly. Where, again, she said, get the hell out of my life and lose my number. Which, when you put all that together, just sounds like that's not, that sounds like an argument where you found something out bad about the other person, right?
Ooh, yes, it does. I mean, this was an episode of the, and we got to give Chicks in the Office credit. I mean, they did a great job here.
Yeah.
But it was an episode you're listening to, and I've talked about it here. You know, when you get like cringeworthy, like you feel like you're hearing stuff that you shouldn't be hearing and that mm-hmm. you're involved in a conversation. This is what I felt like almost the whole time. I was like, oh, this is tough. I want to hear it, but I can't stop listening, but I don't want to hear this. Big podcast, a lot of things said. And it definitely doesn't sound like Kelly and Peter are on good terms. I think we can assume that.
She says this. Okay, this is what happened. She said that he texted her. She didn't respond. And then found out some news I wasn't happy with. I found out news that I wasn't happy with. We still had each other on Find My Friends. We were closing it out. It was ending, but not necessarily done. So that's the illusion for y'all.
A lot going on here. Well, final headline of today. And again, there has been a lot. There always is. We'll end on a brighter note here. Bachelor's Haley Ferguson has the same bridal party as twin sister Emily. And shocking, they will combine their bachelorette parties. This according to us.
I mean, not much to say beyond that. But how convenient. You got some money-saving tactics going there. You have the same bridal party, so that means that they are going to have the same bachelorette parties and the same bridal shower. They're all going to be combined. They will not have the same weddings. They do say that they both have really different wedding styles, so it'll be nice to add their own touches to those things. But they are so excited to be engaged and planning weddings at the same time.
So awesome. I bet that's going to be a blast. It's fun to celebrate those too. Well, Ashley, final segment of this podcast, as we talked about, it is our 4-year anniversary coming up, and we have a big giveaway, massive giveaway for all of you out there. This is a giveaway that is free, and we're going to have the creator of our free giveaway gift on the podcast right now, Jessica Sachs Davamos, coming on the Almost Famous podcast to talk about this giveaway.
So, Ben, before we get started with Jessica, should we go through how everybody can win the rings that she's about to tell us all about?
Yeah, let me tell you all about this. So this is super cool. Again, these rings are really awesome. Can you believe it, Ashley? It's been 4 years. This is something incredible that I just never thought would be possible. And thanks to the effort of many, including the producers on the podcast and yourself, we're celebrating 4 years, and Jessica's helping us do that. So here's what you need to do. Follow us on Instagram at @almost_famous_podcast. Again, that's @almost_famous_podcast. Then click the link in the bio and register for the contest. That's it. So you go to Instagram, follow us, click the link in the bio, register. You're good to go. We're going to select these winners on June 14th. We'll randomly select 4 lucky winners. Super pumped about this. It's a 14 karat yellow gold ring with diamonds. And I think it's incredible. In addition to that, we're going to get Hidden Garden Flowers are giving 2 dozen roses to the winners too. So, hey, Ashley, let's bring Jessica on.
Yeah. Hey, Jessica.
Hi, guys.
Jessica, you've been working in the fashion and jewelry industry for 20 years now. Is that right?
Yes, that is.
Wow. Okay. So how did you design these Almost Famous 4-year anniversary rings? Like, are you a fan of The Bachelor and Bachelorette? Did you bring inspiration from the show into the design?
So yes, I'm a Bachelor and Bachelorette fan, and mostly Paradise fan. So I'm hoping that that's back this year.
Oh, it's back.
Good. I can't wait. It's my guilty pleasure. But yeah, I've been watching the show for so many years, and it's interesting the transition of the girls' jewelry as time's gone on. And now you start to see that everybody's really fashion forward and making statements. And so when they asked me if I'd be interested in doing something like this, I wanted to do something that I would wear that I think is great and funky and cool. And then somebody would say, hey, where'd you get your ring?
So with this ring, it is really cool. Have you designed for anyone who's been in Bachelor Nation? Has Bachelor Nation at all worn your stuff before now?
You guys are the first.
Hey, that's something exciting.
That's very awesome. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah.
Who would you, if you had to jewel, how do you say that? Frost themselves for Paradise. Which contestant would you most want to see your stuff on?
Ooh. There's a lot of you I really like. So that would not be fair if I didn't say you. But
oh no, it's okay. Don't say me. Because no, I'm not gonna be on Paradise.
There's so many of you guys that I just adore watching. I would say Caitlin, because she's a little on the badass side.
Yes.
That I would be kind of, it'd be kind of cool to do something like that for her. Mm-hmm. I do something more like Black Diamonds or something a little more edgy. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of girls in your group that just would be an honor to get to do something with them.
Well, speaking of rings and Caitlin Bristow, what do you feel about like her engagement ring?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So I have done engagement rings for clients, and
that's the new thing. And that has not been the new thing for a long time, that other people are asking for different settings, a little more traditional, the double halo, the cushion cut. There's all those different things that I've always been requested. And ever since Instagram's taken off and all these bachelorettes are posting their new rings, like JoJo and Caitlin, it's a totally different style than I'm used to seeing. I mean, it's a style that's come back.
Isn't that crazy how the trends change every few years? Because my wedding band, I feel like my band and my engagement ring was the it looking one 3 years ago. And now it's all that small, tiny band, big stone look.
Yeah. But see, that stuff, and I think all of it's great. But for me, I'm a girl with crazy long curly hair. That would be caught in my hair every day. So something that you want to wear and can be convenient. Mm-hmm. So for me, that would never work. But
do you see in your profession, like when the JoJos and the Caitlins of the world post their rings, like, can you feel the change in your place of work? Do people ever come in saying, hey, this is what I saw, this is what I want to wear? Or like, are they trendsetters?
You know, I mean, they are, except for my clientele is a little bit older. So we're more of mid to late 30s to 50s. So they're not really taking the trend from these influencers as much, mm-hmm. that are spending this kind of money. However, I have in the most recent few months been asked if I can do something, and then they'll show me a picture of one of those rings. So I guess it's slowly happening.
That's a lot of power. That's a big deal.
So when it comes to this Almost Famous ring, what are you most excited about?
Well, I mean, I think that anything that brings business to me and I can get my name out there and my company out there more is, you know, obviously the key to it. But then to be able to do something for personalities that you already feel like you know a little bit is kind of exciting. And, you know, you get a little bit of breath.
Well, we're super pumped.
For everybody who does not win these four rings, they can get your jewelry at lovearoundtheneck.com. Anything else you want to add?
So just, I'm not online. And the reason why I'm not online is because I do wholesale pricing. So it's really through my Instagram, which is Love Around the Neck, but I don't have an online presence because I give wholesale pricing and it creates issues with stores and designers. So I'm basically through Instagram and then they DM me and then we go from there.
Gotcha. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing what you're doing for us. And we hope that you enjoy paradise this season.
I can't wait.
See ya.
Thank you, guys. Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Take care.
So cool, Ashley, that we're able to celebrate our 4-year anniversary with the help of, again, it's Love Around the Neck on Instagram. It's exciting for us. Ashley, as we enter into 4 years, as we close out this podcast today, what does it feel like for you? I mean, we talked about it last week, just how thankful we are, but how does the idea that you've been doing this, talking, and people out there have been listening and growing with us for 4 years, how does that feel?
I don't know. I can't really even like wrap my head around it, because 3 years sounds like, oh yeah, 3 years, right? But 4 years is like, wow, that's a chapter of your work life. Yeah. I just can't believe how much time flies. I think about that every day, like every single day. I'm like, where did the time go? Where did the day go? But I appreciate each day and I appreciate every single listener that has ever listened to this podcast.
Yeah.
And we are always looking for your feedback too. If you think we can be better, let us know how. But yeah, I mean, I feel blessed, truly. I know that sounds cliche, but it's been an honor. I mean, people listen to our voices, our opinions on the show. It's just really, it's really cool.
Yeah. People used to say I have a really annoying voice, but now you listen and, it's my job. So last on them. Well, Ashley, celebrating 4 years coming up, celebrating you always. This has been the Almost Famous podcast and I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.